It's always good to have a good season of prayer and prayer meeting night. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. We've been going through the book of Hebrews in our studies, and I think I'm going to probably a half a dozen, six or eight more messages that God's laid on my heart to preach out of the book of Hebrews. Now, we left off in chapter 10. I want you to turn to chapter 11. We left off in chapter 10, and I'll drop back there Sunday morning and Sunday evening, the Lord willing, and pick up the last portion of chapter 10. But tonight I want to look at the first three verses of chapter number 11. Of course, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is not only probably the most well-known chapter in the book of Hebrews, it's one of the most well-known chapters in all the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 11. Some have coined it the Hall of Fame of Faith, the faith chapter. There's a principle in studying the Word of God called the full mention principle, and it's where God decides in the giving of His Word, He says, you know, I'm going to give my mind on this matter that I want man to know. And there's chapters in the Bible like that, 1 Corinthians 13, the love, charity, James chapter 3 on the tongue, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection. But here, faith. And I want to talk to you for the next, we're just going to teach some things about faith. Faith is a word that people use. They talk about it a lot, but exercise it a little. And so I want to help you to not just talk about it, and God help me not to just know it or know how to spell it or use it as far as in conversation, but God help us to practice it. Faith. Now, I want you to think about this, and then I'm going to give you what I consider a biblical definition of faith. If someone were to come to you and ask you, what is faith? Now, faith is important. So how important is faith? Well, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. Can't be saved without faith. So, we're saved by grace. Well, you have to exercise that grace. In order to exercise that grace, you have to exercise faith, right? The Bible says, Ephesians, I'm giving you scripture now, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by faith. That's how important faith is, all right? But not only that, after we get saved, we live by faith. Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So see, we live by faith. Now we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. So faith's important. And so someone asks you, hey, tell me about this thing, faith. Now before I give you the definition, I want you to know something. Today, whether you realize it or not, you live by faith. Every person exercised some faith today. Now, it may not have been biblical faith, and that's what we're going to talk about, biblical faith. But I want you to think about faith, all right? You probably, now, if you're like most of us, you probably ate some food today that you didn't search out all the ingredients and where it came from and who packaged it, right? You might have went to a restaurant and they poured something in your cup and they said it was coffee, but you didn't check. You just drank it. Right? Yeah. Did you check your brakes before you drove? Did you check to make sure your car wasn't going to explode when you started it up? Did you put money in the bank? Are you by faith? Are you hoping it's going to be there when you go draw it out? Amen. Listen, I'm being serious now. You went in a building today. You didn't know the architecture. You didn't know the people who constructed it, but you went in it. You went in a building. And you didn't think about it. You didn't check the structural integrity of the building. You just assumed, well, you know. So now this, I'm saying this to say this. Well, let me give you my greatest one. This is something. You ever been to the doctor? And I don't go to doctors much, but I have been. And they say, hey, here's your problem, and here's what you need. And they tell you this word about this long. And it's got a bunch of consonants at the first of it. And you're thinking, well, how could this be a word? And then so they say, dude, you need to go get this filled. And you go, and the the pharmacist, they put some pills in there, and you say, well, how about taking one of those and see what happens to you before I take two? Yeah? You go home, you take that medication. Yeah? You're just by faith believing that what they put in that bottle, and by the way, you say, oh, well, preacher, that always works out. It doesn't work out so good every time. There's been people who's had an allergic reaction to medication. Okay? And so by faith, you're exercising goodwill and some faith. Now, faith is as good and it's as strong as the object, now listen very carefully, in which you aim it toward or you draw it from. All right? Now, the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He's the object of our faith. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? And so we have faith in Christ. Now, our faith is founded because on Him, and I believe everything that God says. See, when I read this book, I don't read this book doubting. I believe this book. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't. But I believe it. I believe everything in the Bible. Why? Because God said it. This is God's word. This is not man's word. This is God's word. Now, if I can believe man, surely I can believe God. Right? By the way, that's how you get saved. Take your Bible before we get into Hebrews and just turn back a few to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. There are some people that will believe man but won't believe God. Now, I'm going to get into this a little deeper at the end of the message. But there are people who say, I believe in evolution. I don't. I don't believe in the theory of evolution. I believe in creation. Yeah. And, you know, and today in our major educational, and I say that with quotation marks, institutions, they will laugh, you and I who believe in creation, they will laugh us to scorn. They will mock us, perhaps even persecute us if we tell them, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. They laugh. They scorn at that. They ridicule you if you say that. They call you an ignoramus. You're a dummy. You believe in a fairy tale, they say. Well, I believe God's word. God said He created the heavens and the earth. I believe what God said. By the way, God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. They keep on changing. You know, if they'd be honest, they'd say, I believe something now I didn't believe 5 years ago. And if you catch up with them 5 years from today, if Jesus hasn't come and asked them, they've done changed what they believe today. Then, you know why? Because it's not so. In 1 John chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 9. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men. Now listen to me. Doctor tells you to take a pill, you take a pill. Right? It's going to make you better. Somebody tells you what they put on your plate is eggs, you eat the eggs. If we receive the witness of men, right? What people do you have confidence in? Who do you take their word? People that you know that has a good reputation, that is honest. See, you will receive their witness, right? Now, if a man's a dishonest lying cheat, I'm going to be very, very careful about receiving his witness. But see, God is faithful. God has not only never lied, it's impossible for God to lie. So see, I can take His word. He's a faithful witness. So the Bible says in verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, why is it that we as believers will not take God at His word? God's word is greater than man's word. That's what John is saying. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Right? Read on.
For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Now watch this. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Well, see, I don't want to do that. When God says something in his word, I want to act on it. Now we're getting to the definition of faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God's word and acting on it without regard to circumstances or consequences. That's faith. See, faith is believing what God says. And it's acting on it. If God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You do that, God means what he says what he means, he's faithful. You do that, you get saved. Whatever God says, brethren. Whatever God says, you see. Now, he addresses that at the latter part of verse number 10. Look at this. He said, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Do you believe the record that God gave of his Son? I do. I believe the record that... And this is the record, verse number 11. I like it. And this is the record. Amen? He said, this is it. This is the record. This is the account that God gave of his Son. Look at verse 11. And this is the record. This is the account. This is the witness. This is the testimony that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You want to go to heaven? Then you have to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. It's the only way. It's the only way. Say, well, Muslims have faith in Muhammad. Buddhists have faith in Buddha. Humanists have faith in humans. Materialists have faith in wealth. Religionists have faith in works. But you and I that are saved in the grace of God have faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the only way to get to heaven. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. One God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Neither, Acts 4:12, is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right? So what is faith? Faith is taking God at his word and acting on it without regard to circumstances or consequences. So when God says something, I'm to believe it and act on it. That's faith. Now go back to Hebrews, chapter number 11. And we come to a new section in the book of Hebrews. The first section of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is a better person, right? Jesus, that's Hebrews 1, 2, 3, and 4, Jesus is a better person. Then you get to the next section, Jesus is a better priest, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And then chapters 8, 9, and 10, Jesus is a better provision. And now Jesus is a better principle, the faith principle. And so that's what he's going to talk about. Now, what is faith? Look, are you in chapter number 11? Let's look at this together. He says this. He says, now faith is the substance. And here's what I'd like for you to do. If you're writing your Bible, just underline the word substance. If you don't, just write over to the side, substance. We're going to talk about that word. Because he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So that means when you think of this phrase that he's using, he's saying, when you're hoping for something, it's something out there in the future. And he said, it's the substance of something that's out there in the future, but it's bringing what's in the future into the present. All right? So faith takes something that's future and brings it into the present. See, I have the hope, listen to me now, of eternal life. I have the hope of heaven. I'm going to heaven. Say, preacher, have you ever seen heaven? Through the eye of faith. See, I can talk about going to heaven. Why? You say, well, it's out there. Yeah, but see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to heaven because God, through faith, I believe God's word, and so it's as good as done. I'm going to heaven. Yeah. By faith. As a matter of fact, Peter said that we have been born again unto a lively hope. Same word right here in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have been saved. We have been redeemed. We have been born again to a lively hope. What's that mean? That means that this world is not all there is. For as in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Could you imagine this being all there is? Could you imagine this being all there is? I'm so thankful to God that this is not all there is. Don't misunderstand me. I'm enjoying life. I thank God for a life. Life is wonderful. Amen. It's a gift from God. Life. But this is not all there is. Brother, you don't live and die, then it's over. No. After this life, we're going to stand before God. And we who are saved, we're going to live. Listen, we're going to live through the age of ages, eternity, forever. That's real. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? By faith, I believe with all of my heart. So he said this. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then he said this. He said, the evidence of things not seen. So here's two things that faith, how it is described. He said, it is a substance. It is a substance. And then he said, it is an evidence. That's faith. All right? Now, it's the substance of things hoped for, right? In other words, anything that God says in His Word that is out there to take hold of in the future, like, in other words, a glorified body. See, John said in 1 John chapter 3, he said, Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. Now, watch this. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this what? Hope. What hope? That we're going to be like Him. Right? That's a hope. I'm going to be like Christ one day. I'm going to have a Listen, I'm going to have a glorified body. This old vile body is going to be fashioned like unto Christ's glorified body, His resurrected body. It's so. It's real. You say, how can you say that? Because God said it, and I believe it. See, I have my faith based in the substance. Now, you see that word substance there in verse number 1? Faith is the substance. That word, I challenge you to go home and just study it a little bit. It means support. It comes from the word from where we get our word foundation. It's the foundation of our hope. What is? Faith. Faith. It's the foundation. In the old day, back in the Eastern Age, When they used this word substance, it was almost like a piece of paper that they gave to somebody, and they would say, well, now, you have purchased a piece of property. Here's your substance. Here is your, we call it today a title deed. Here's your title deed to what you're going to gain. All right? You purchased some property over there. Remember the guy who said, I got to go check my property out. You purchased some property. Well, now, here's your title deed. Here's your substance. All right? This is it right here. Here's your title. Title to what? To all that God has promised. See, by faith, it unlocks all that God has promised, brethren. I hope you understand that. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't have to walk around saying, well, you know, I think I'm going to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, because God's good. Because I'm saved. I've done what the Bible says to do to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. God cannot lie. Didn't we just read that in 1 John 5? God cannot lie. So it's a substance. I stand on the substance, the foundation of God's Word for the things that are to come. Then he said this, he said it is the evidence. You know, when you're in a courtroom, they ask you for evidence. What's another word for evidence? Proof. Proof. So read that, look at it again. He said it is the substance, it's the foundation of things hoped for. Faith is now. It brings strength and stability to things that God has said. Faith does. And then he said this, it is the evidence, it's the proof of things not seen. See, I can't see salvation. But I sure can see people that have been saved. What do you mean? There's proof in it. There's proof. See, I can't see the wind blow. You ever looked out and said, boy, look at the wind blow. You've never seen the wind blow. You see the effects of the wind blowing. You see the leaves moving, the grass blowing, right? You see the effect that the wind has on things as it moves. Here's what he's saying in verse number one. Faith, it's an evidence. It brings an evidence to things you can't see. Can't see the wind, but I can see the things as an evidence that the wind is moving to show me that the wind is moving. I can't see born again, but I sure can see what born again does in people. So I can't see born again. I can't see it. I can't see being washed. I can't see getting washed in the blood, but I sure can tell when I'm around people who's been washed in the blood. Been set free, right? That's what he's saying. So see, that's faith. Faith makes things real. Faith takes the invisible, the intangible, the impossible, and makes them visible and tangible and possible. Faith does that. Faith makes things real. This is real to me. This is not just some fantasy or some game or some formality that we're going through. This is reality by faith. All right, so he said this. He said, now faith, he said, it is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence, it's the proof. So the substance is the foundation. The evidence is the proof. Faith is. All right? And then he said this in verse number two. He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith. And so he said, you know, I'm getting ready to share with you some things that some folks did by faith that people are still talking about. Still talking about it. By faith. They believed God's word and acted upon it without consequence and circumstance. They just did what God said to do. Right? And God honored it. And so he begins to tell us about these elders. In verse number two, for by it the elders, the Old Testament saints, they obtained a good report. Boy, I tell you, who gave them the good report on the report card, do you think? The people? Not everybody that's seen Abel move by faith, and he didn't get a very good report card from a person. He got a rock upside the head. His brother killed him. So I don't think it's talking about the people. Now, I do think that faith moves people. When I live by faith, when you live by faith, when we live by faith, it affects people. It stirs people. Sometimes it convicts people. Right? Living by faith can have an impact on people. But I think the good report, look at it, for by it the elders obtained a good report from who? From God. God gave them a good report. See, when I stand before the Lord one day, I want to get a good report card. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you see. I don't want to go to heaven and say, well, you know what? You failed. You failed. You didn't do. I had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and you failed. I don't want to hear that. And so I must live by faith. I must act on what God said and not allow my reason to get involved. Not allow my way, my understanding. See, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Right? Look over in verse number 5. The latter part of it says, talking about Enoch here, says, for before, the latter part of verse number 5 of chapter 11, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the people. Is that what your Bible says? No. No. Living by faith doesn't please people too often. Like I said, it'll challenge people. It'll impact people. It'll even convict people. It'll even make people angry. But living by faith pleases God. And brethren, that's who we're out to please, is God. We want to be God pleasers and not men pleasers. Didn't Paul write about that? He did. And so he said, He said that he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, he obtained a good report. If I'm going to obtain a good report, I need to get out of my mind this checklist of things that I need to do to obtain a good report and realize that it can be summed up in one statement, and that is, I am to walk by faith and not by sight. See, that's what pleases God. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is faith. Faith. It's a substance. It's a foundation. Christianity is built on faith. And we're going to see in a strong way here in just a moment. Then, when God sees people living by faith in his word, it pleases him. Now, if I'm to take the scripture honestly, and I want to do that, I want to be very objective. I want to take the scripture at face value. And so if I'm to do that, and I read verse number 6, I can read it positively. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I want to say this, if I do not exercise faith, it's impossible to please him. If I do, then I can please him. So live by faith, I please God. Not living by faith, I'm not pleasing God. You say, but now, preacher, I read my Bible. Do you believe it when you read it? Do you act on it when you read it? See, just a duty in and of itself is not what pleases God. See, we talk about we're not works people, but if we're not careful, we'll slip into a works walk with God. Works in and of themselves is not what pleases God. It must be works done in faith in accordance to God's word. All right, so let's go back and I'll give you this final thing. So number one, faith is a substance. It's a foundation. It's an evidence. It's a proof. It's a proof. And then number two, when we live by faith, when we walk by faith, it pleases God. We obtain a good report. Now, he's going to give us some examples. If you're not careful, you'll say, all right, I'm going to read the examples that God gives of people who walk by faith, and you'll say, let's see here, verse number 4, for by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and then you have verse number 5, Enoch, you have verse number 7, Noah, you have verse number 8, Abraham, you have verse number 11, Sarah, and then you have verse number 20, Isaac, verse number 21, Jacob, verse number 22, Joseph, verse number 23, Moses, verse number 31, Rahab. That's 10. Called by name, and he tells us about these people living by faith. And then he says this in verse number 32. He said, you know, I got some time restraints, and I do too. I have some time restraints. He said, I'd like to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. He said, but time would fail me. I can't right now. But he does mention them. He mentions 6 more, all right? But now before he mentions any of these, and these are very familiar Bible characters. They're very familiar elders, as he called them in verse number 2, that obtained a good report. They walk by faith. Now I want to say something here before I give you my final thought. Please don't you think, and I'm going to preach on this, but I want you to go to it just for a moment. Don't you think, well, if I live by faith, everything's going to be just great. No problems, you know. Everything will go bed of roses, no trouble in life. The Bible nowhere promises that. Let me tell you something. Something that I am so thankful that God put men in my life that taught me at an early age, don't build your theology. Now listen very carefully to this, okay? Don't build your theology on emotions and circumstances. A lot of people build their theology, their view of God, on emotions and circumstances. God's paying the bills. God's giving them good health. God's got a good home life. God is good. But then a trial comes and things turn and their health gets weak and their finances you know, go out haywire. Well, where's God? See, you don't build your theology on who God is by circumstances. Can I tell you God's good whether you've got it good or not? Amen. God's good whether my bills are paid or not. God's good whether I live to be an old man or I die as a young man. God's good no matter what happens. That doesn't change. Listen, God is unchangeable. The word there, the theology, the word that we use is immutable. God cannot change. Yes. But somehow, if we're not careful, we'll allow our emotion and we will allow our circumstance to dictate to us in our own minds who God is. Don't build your theology on that. You'll have an up and down Christian experience. You'll be up when things are going good. You'll be down when they're not. That's a terrible way to live life. See, we have to live life with our focus on who God is, whether we think God is good or not, whether things are going good in our life or not. We need to know God is good. And there's a reason that these things are happening. Now, look at this if you would. And I'll give you a scripture for that. You say, well, preacher, that's just your personal experience. Actually, no, it's scriptural truth. Notice if you would, in verse number 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. You in verse 33 with me? Obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. That key word there is escape. These are those that escaped. These are those that had victory. I could go on and on. They had victory. The women received, verse 35, dead, raised to life again. But then it says others were tortured. By faith. God's still good? Torture. God's still good? You see? Read on. Did not get delivered, not accepting deliverance. Is God still good? Is he? See, there's victories, but then there's perplexities, right? I mean, God is good whether we get victory or perplexity. God is good whether we escape or endure. And that's what he's saying here. Do not build your view on God on emotion and circumstances. Build your view on God on truth. On truth, on substance. He said in verse number 36, he said, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. And then we could go on. But you know what? There's a word that I have underlined in verse number 39. And these all, whether they escaped or endured, God was with them all. Right? So we have to be careful. So don't think, well, you know, my faith is strong when God is doing good, and my faith is not when things are not good. No, God is good. God is God, whether things are going good in my life or not. See, God has a purpose. And so don't let God help me and God help you. Let's not build our theology now on emotion or circumstance. Now, I'll give you one final thought. Who did he start out with? He said, all right. He said, going to give you some examples of faith. Who would you start out with? Examples of faith. I'm going to talk to you about faith and tell you about a people that really, really just set out to live by faith. So, well, I think you started with Abel. Then there's Enoch. Then there's Noah. But, you know, there's another. Look at verse number 3. He said, through faith, we. You know, some people just jump right to Abel. And they say, well, now, Abel did some things by faith. And then verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. And then verse number 7, by faith, Noah. And you know, verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse number 11, through faith, Sarah. Well, wait a minute. Before you get to those, he said, you know what? We've done some things by faith. Now, I want you to stay with me right here. This will be my final thought, but I want you to stay with me. This is a thought that you need to get. He said in verse number 3, through faith we understand. So here's what he's doing. He's saying, if you want to live a life of faith, this is where you need to get on that. Now he's writing to a bunch of saved people, a group of saved Jews. All right? They had their history. These people were not scriptural ignoramuses. They knew their scripture. You can tell that by reading through up until this point. He was talking to a group of people. Now, they had gotten a little sluggish, and we've discussed this, and they needed to move on to perfection as far as in the maturity of the Christian faith. They were young in the Christian faith, but they had a good, rich heritage in the scripture. And he said, through faith, we... Let's talk about us for a moment. You say, well, who's we? Well, it was them, but now it's us. Right? We. You saved? You know Jesus as your personal Savior. You're the we. Through faith, we understand some things. Now, I want you to notice what he said. Through faith, he could have said, through faith, we understand that God sent his Son. This is the thing the Jews had a problem with. All right? You listening? This is the things the Jews has a problem with. The Jews didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. He could have said this, but he didn't. He said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, what's he saying? Turn back to Genesis chapter 1, and he said, through faith, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Do you believe that? Without hesitation, do you believe that God spoke and the world was? If you believe that, now this is what the author of the book of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is saying. He's saying, this is where you get on the faith train at. Now, listen to me. Now that you're saved, he said, now he's writing to you, he said, we. Through faith, we. He says, if you want understanding in your life as you walk by faith, you've got to accept this. I want you to notice what happens. If you find another book in all the world that starts like this, please bring it to me. Most books that want to tell you about something that happened in time will say, once upon a time. Or they'll say, long, long time ago, or somewhere in history, they can always go to a time, a place, and they once upon a time. Notice how God starts his book. In the beginning. Amen. I've never read a book that started out that way. So, well, I did. Well, okay, you bring it to me. I'd like to read that book. In the beginning, not once upon a time, not in a land far, far away. In the beginning, see, this is what the author of the book of Hebrews is referring to. He's alluding to this. He said, this is where you need to get on the faith train at. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you stop right there and you say, I believe that, what you read after, you won't doubt a bit of it. You won't doubt anything. Jesus walked on water. Sure did. Jesus healed the lame. Sure did. Why? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You get that part right there down. See, we've got a bunch of people running around who can't get that down. That's why they sit in church scratching their head. Their eyes are wondering. Their minds are wondering. They can't get that down. Can I tell you, the night I got saved, God gave me that. Right here. Right here. Never doubted it. Never. Not because, man, I'm not a smart person. Listen, I'm not an intellectual man. But I'm a man of faith. God gave me faith to accept that right there. See, I believe that in the beginning, you say, well, preacher, where did God come from? I'm not interested in that. If God wanted to describe that and explain that to me, he would have, but he didn't. He said, listen, here it is. Take it or leave it. In the beginning, I created the heaven and the earth. Take it or leave it. I take it, God. I believe what you said. God doesn't have to explain himself to me. See, here's a problem. Now listen, here's a problem. We think God owes us an explanation. God doesn't owe you an explanation. God doesn't owe me an explanation. God said, here I am. This is what I've done. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Good. I can work with you. I'm going to bring understanding to your life. But yet when people say, well, you know, there's got to be more. 4 billion years ago, you know, a crawdad rolled around in the mud. Oh my goodness. Do what? And it just keeps changing and it keeps changing and it keeps changing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You believe that? Can I tell you that you could go into, and listen, I am not, people who are around me for just a short period of time think, well, you know, Pastor Freeman, he's against education. Listen, you don't know me well. If you think that, you don't know me well. I think people ought to be educated. I'm for it. But I got to tell you something. I don't put education before transformation. Education is not more important than transformation. Transformation is the most important thing in life. If you get educated and you become very smart and you die and go to hell, you'll just be a person in hell that's smart. What good's that going to do? No, you have to accept what God has said. Faith. Do you believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? You believe that? Well, see, there's nothing else you read in this book that you can't believe. See, that's why when I read over in the book of Exodus that Moses and the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and Moses held up the staff and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that Red Sea parted up and the children of Israel went over on dry ground. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that?" With all of my heart, I believe that. How can you believe that? Genesis 1:1. That wasn't greater than Genesis 1:1. The ocean was already there. Genesis 1:1, God called everything into existence out of nothing. Amen. Doesn't get any greater than that, brethren. So, let's stand to our feet. Faith. I had some other things I was going to give you, but we'll close it tonight and we'll pick up here next week. I want to talk to you about faith, how to have it, how to exercise it, how to walk by it, how to live by it, how to claim things by it. Listen, faith, it's important. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report, right? God was pleased when those people, they acted upon His word. They believed it, they acted upon it, and God showed Himself strong in their situations. And through it, we understand. You understand? So I'm having a little trouble understanding some things. Might need to start exercising some faith. God brings understanding when people start believing. You've heard this saying, "Well, you know, with me, seeing is believing." That's not the way it is with God. With God, it's believing is seeing. You believe, and God will show it to you. He will. Let's bow our heads together. Faith.